Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey, guys.
Take one. Hello, everyone.
Hey, with the last two we did on take one, I don't want to jinx us, but I think we're killing it over here.
We might be considered experts now.
I'm pretty sure you're right. So, welcome back. As we hinted at last week, well, we didn't hint, we flat out told you, but we're going to be talking about one of our all-time favorite topics, and that's Disney. I'm so excited to be talking about Disney.
If you've been around here a while, you know that we're a big Disney family. We love all things Disney.
Yeah, we are full-fledged Disney adults. And we have raised our children to love Disney as much as we love Disney.
Together, we've been to Walt Disney World in Florida over a dozen times, and a few times separately before we even knew each other.
Yeah, so what Chris is saying is that we've learned a thing or two over the years. I personally have helped several people plan their trips, and we thought it would be good to do an episode or two on planning your own magical vacation to Disney World. As I sat down to make my notes, it's going to be a four-part episode. I had originally thought it would be two, but there's just too much, and we didn't want to overwhelm people, so it's going to be a four-part series, and this way, hopefully, you'll be able to plan your own amazing Walt Disney World, and hopefully our tips will help you.
Yes, Rob and I can talk about Disney all day, and sometimes we do.
Yeah, he's not exaggerating. I could sit and talk about Disney all day, every day, but we mentioned this at the end of last week's episode. A couple of people have actually requested that we do these episodes. So, like I said, I made a list of everything. It's very highly detailed. And after listening to these four episodes, you should be able to plan your own trip to Walt Disney World.
There is a lot to cover, and we know it can be confusing, especially if you've never been there before. So we want to break down everything for you all today.
Yeah, I remember my first trip. Well, actually, my first trip was with my aunt, uncle, and two cousins, and I had been one other time after that. But then I had gone, actually, Chris and I were first dating. I had gone with my friend Julie, and she showed me the ropes, because otherwise, I don't even know. I would have been so overwhelmed, I wouldn't have known what to do. But she is a Disney person. She's been a ton of times, and she showed me the ropes. So we're going to cover everything from different modes of transportation on the Disney properties. We're going to talk about the hotels, the dining plan, you name it, and we're going to talk about it.
So for everyone that's not familiar with Walt Disney World in Orlando, there are four theme parks: the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios. There's also two water parks and Disney Springs, which has everything from world-class restaurants to unique stores, live performances, and it makes the perfect place to explore outside the parks. If you've been dreaming of a magical trip but feel overwhelmed by all the details, don't worry, we got you covered. Hopefully after today, our must-know beginner tips will help make your Disney trip as smooth as possible.
Did you say smooth?
Smooth.
So first up, step one, before anything else, download the My Disney Experience app. This app is your key to managing park reservations, mobile food orders, ride wait times, and so much more. Your hotel key. I'm trying to think if it does anything else. It does, but I can't.
What about your favorite thing? A countdown? It gives you your countdown to your Disney vacation?
Yes, it does. And we will mention that too. But it does do a countdown. So you can click in at any time after you book your trip and see how many days you have left until your trip. We have three countdowns going on right now. We've got, Chris and I have a trip to Disney World. We're recording this before, this is going to actually air after we get back from that trip, because we're recording in advance. But so right now we have Chris and I on a lone trip in April. We're going to Disneyland Paris in June. That was a squeal of joy. And then we're going back to Walt Disney World in August, because we take the kids every year. But anyway, back to the app. Think of it as your Disney trip control center. And we will definitely circle back to the app later. I'm going to mention it a bunch of times. And So don't worry about that. Stay tuned. Just download the app for now. So when it comes to booking, a lot of people think or assume that you need a travel agent or that it's a long, complicated process to lock in your trip. But honestly, guys, it's super simple. You can book your entire Disney vacation right on your phone through the official Disney website. It just takes a $200 deposit to secure your reservation, and then you can pay off the rest over time. So that's right. You don't have to pay it all at once. You can, but you don't have to.
We usually call, and all of the cast members are so incredibly knowledgeable and helpful. They can answer any question you can come up with.
Yeah, that actually goes for all Disney cast members. You're probably thinking, what's a cast member? A cast member is a term used by Disney to refer to employees at the theme parks and resorts. Actually, anybody that works for Disney is a cast member. The term comes from Walt Disney's use of theatrical terms to describe park operations.
And you can view your booking and reservations in that. Isn't that correct?
Yes. The My Disney Experience app is where you'll go to see all your reservations. And like Chris said a few minutes ago, you can click in and get your countdown to see how many days you have left until your trip. When you are booking your trip, make sure you make hotel reservations and get your park tickets. And there are several different types of park tickets, and I thought it would be helpful to include a breakdown so that it doesn't get confusing. So first up, there's the standard 1 day per park day ticket. Did I say that right? Yes. So it's a one park per day ticket. And this is the most basic option. So you pick a set number of days, and if you do this option, you can visit one of the Disney parks each day. So you pick which one you want to go to on whichever day. So Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, or Animal Kingdom. And this is a great chance if you plan... Did I say chance? This is a great choice. I'm getting so excited to talk about Disney. I'm like messing up. But this is a great choice if you plan to take your time and fully enjoy each park without hopping in between them. With this option, you can leave the park and go back to your hotel for a break during the day, but you must return to the same park. There's no park hopping with this option. But if you want more flexibility, then you might want to consider the park hopper ticket. This allows you to visit multiple parks in a single day. So you can start your morning at the Magic Kingdom and then head over to Epcot for dinner. Now, if you want more adventure, and there actually is even more adventure, there's the Park Hopper Plus option. So that ticket includes park hopping and access to Disney's water parks, golf courses, and mini golf courses. So it's perfect if you want to mix in some non-park fun.
How many parks have we visited in 1 day? Two? I think that was our limit.
I don't know. I'm trying to think back. We've been so many times. I think just two, although... Yeah.
I don't think we've done more than two in a day.
I don't think we've done more than two, because by the time you get to the front of the park, and there's a lot of walking involved on Disney trips. I think two. I think two. There's a four-park challenge that some people do. That's too much, even for me.
Yes.
I have no desire to go to four parks in 1 day. I know what I like at this point, and I want to do the things I like, but I like to take my time, too, because sometimes the mood just strikes you, and you want to go do something else. But back to the ticket options, I just also wanted to mention, Disney also has after hours and special event tickets, like Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party or Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and we are going to get into more details about those, I think, probably like in the last part. I forget where it falls on my outline, but I think it's near the end. Those things, the after hours, the Halloween and the Christmas party, are separately ticketed events. So that means you don't need a regular park ticket for that day. You just need the event ticket, which gets you in during the late afternoon and lets you stay past regular park hours. So I think it's 4 o'clock for the parties, the Halloween and the Christmas party. I'm not sure about the after hours because we've never done the after hours because that's way too late for us.
It is too late.
And last but not least, I did want to just mention for the Disney super fans, there is an annual pass option. There's a Florida resident option and a non-Florida resident option. And someday that will be us.
Someday.
And the annual passes give you year-round access, but there are blackout dates depending on which tier you choose. So which ticket is right for you? It's hard to say. If you're visiting for a few days and want to take it slow, the standard ticket works great. If you love flexibility and maximizing your time, the park hopper might be the way to go. And if you want extra perks like the water parks, the Park Hopper Plus might be worth it.
That was a lot of information.
I know, it was. But it's important to know what kind of ticket options are available. And that way, you know, if you don't feel comfortable calling to book it yourself, booking it on the app or whatever, if you don't feel comfortable, go to a travel agent. Honestly, I mean, I feel like I broke it down for you guys. It is confusing, but if you still feel iffy, just go to a travel agent. Anyone that books Disney has to go through training courses, so they're pretty knowledgeable.
So we've talked about the tickets. Now let's move on to the next stage, and we'll talk about the hotels on the Disney property.
Yeah, you're right. The Disney property in Orlando is literally the size of a town. So in addition to the theme parks, Disney Springs, water parks, golf courses, mini golf courses, there are over 25 resort hotels on the property. So I thought it would be helpful to break down the hotels on the Disney property and what category they fall into, because let's be real, Disney has a hotel for every budget.
All right, first up, let's talk the value resorts. These are perfect for families who want to stay in the Disney bubble, but without breaking the bank.
Exactly.
They include all-star movies, all-star music, and all-star sports. These are fun, oversized themes and budget-friendly prices. Also, there's Pop Century, a blast from the past with decade-themed decor, and the Art of Animation. Themed suites that immerse you in Disney movies like Finding Nemo and The Lion King.
Yeah, I've stayed at Pop Century before, and we've stayed at a couple of the All-Stars. If you're just planning on going to the hotel to sleep, and you're going to be out at the parks all day, those are a great option for you guys. But next up, there are moderate resorts, and they're a step up in both theming and amenities. So there's Caribbean Beach. We've stayed at Caribbean Beach, what, 5 times? We love it there. That has tropical vibes and a Skyliner station. And don't worry, I'm going to explain what that is later. There's Coronado Springs, which has a mix of Spanish, Mexican, and Southwestern styles, plus the stunning Grand Destino Tower. I know I just stumbled over my words. There's Port Orleans. They have 2 sides, Riverside and French Quarter, which really is just a way to make it a bigger hotel. Think Southern Charm, Bayou Beauty, and yes, they have beignets. And then there's the cabins at Fort Wilderness, which is a rustic home away from home experience with lots of outdoor funs. The moderate resorts give you a mix of comfort and affordability, and most of them have table service restaurants.
Now, if you want to go all out, Disney Deluxe Resorts are where it's at. You got the Grand Floridian, the Crown Jewel, right on top on the monorail loop, the Polynesian Village, a tropical paradise with Dole Whip and a killer view of the fireworks.
Oh, I love me some Dole Whips.
And the Contemporary, the one with the monorail inside the hotel. Very cool.
Very cool.
The Wilderness Lodge, a cozy Pacific Northwest escape. The Animal Kingdom Lodge. Imagine waking up to giraffes outside your window. Yep, that's a thing. And the Beach and Yacht Club, these two share Storm Along Bay, basically the best pool on Disney property.
That it's definitely the best pool on Disney property, 100%. There's no argument.
And the last one, Boardwalk Inn, classic Coney Island vibes with nightlife right outside your door. The deluxe resorts come with bigger rooms, more dining options, and the best locations, many within walking distance of the parks.
Yeah, the Beach and Yacht Club is our home base. We stay there
every once in a while.
Well,
we love it.
We love it. It's an excellent location. We're going to get into it, why we love staying there and why it's such a good location, but to circle back, Storm Along Bay at the Beach and Yacht Club, they have a mini lazy river. They've got
water slides,
a huge pool. It's phenomenal. That's why we started staying there, because we had walked over there one day for something. Oh, Beaches and Cream, I think, is a restaurant. It's an amazing restaurant. And then we saw the pool and we were like, oh my God, this is where we need to stay. So we've stayed there several times and we love it over there. Anyway, let's move on, because I don't want this to be 2 hours long. There are also several partner hotels located on the property. The Swan and Dolphin are technically Marriott hotels, so if you have points with them, you can use those there. Also, Shades of Green is a military hotel that active or retired military can make reservations at. And we are going to get into those a little bit later, especially Shades of Green. And while those hotels technically aren't Disney hotels, they are located on the property and do receive perks, such as extra magic hours, which I will explain after. And actually, we may not get to that until this next part, but don't worry, we're going to talk about extra magic hours and rope dropping and all that stuff. And finally, there are deluxe villas, which are part of the Disney Vacation Club. That's kind of like a timeshare sort of thing. We don't participate in that, but I know a lot of people do. And those resorts offer suite-style rooms with kitchens, which makes them great for longer stays. You'll find them at many deluxe resorts, including Bay Lake Tower, the Riviera Resort, and the Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek Villas at Wilderness Lodge.
Now, each of these hotels have all kinds of activities that go on throughout the day as well. We will recommend that you look at the website for each hotel and make a choice that's right for you and your family. We stayed at several of the different resorts over the years, and most of them have fun activities like pool games that go on throughout the day and movies under the stars. You'll find something for everyone.
For sure. Disney definitely goes out of their way to make sure that there's fun happening everywhere all the time. When the kids were little, we loved movies under the stars because it was a great way to wind down after a long day at the parks.
So whether you're looking for budget-friendly, fun, moderate magic, or ultimate luxury, Disney's got a resort for you.
So I think we've covered the Disney planning phase. Don't forget to book yourself a flight, though. If you book your trip yourself by calling Disney or through the app or on the website, you'll need to book your own flight. If you book through a travel agent, they can do it for you. Honestly, we book our own flights and it's super easy. We normally fly JetBlue and it's very easy to book with them online. It's all really what you're most comfortable with, to be honest. For your information, the airport code for the Orlando International Airport is MCO. So look for that when you're booking your flight.
Okay, so next step. You got your trip booked. It's time to fly to Orlando.
Yes. So I'm so excited just thinking about it. So you touch down at the Orlando International Airport, aka MCO, and here's what you do when you land.
First things first, let's talk about the baggage claim. Orlando's airport has three main terminals, A, B, and C.
I don't think you said that.
JetBlue is in Terminal C, Southwest is in Terminal A, and I believe Delta is in Terminal B.
Okay, so you've deplaned now. Let's go grab those bags. Once you step off the plane, head down to level 2 if you have checked luggage. The baggage claim is split between Terminal A and Terminal B, so double check your airline before wandering in the wrong direction. But hey, if you do get lost, just look up. MCO has plenty of signs to guide you along.
Okay, so your bags are in your hand. Now it's time to figure out your next move, ground transportation. Here's the breakdown. Rental cars. If you're renting a car, head down to level 1. The rental car counters are inside the terminal, and many companies have cars just a short walk away in the garage. And then there's ride shares, Uber and Lyft, also on level 1. But make sure you go to the right pickup area, as the signage will point you to the designated zones. And then there's shuttles and buses. Many hotels have resorts and resorts offer complimentary shuttles. So check ahead to see if yours does. And if you're heading to Disney and book Mears Connect or Sunshine Flyer, you'll find their check-in desk in Terminal B Level 1. And then there's taxis and private car services. You can grab a taxi or pre-book a car service from level 1 too. And if you're staying at a Disney hotel, this could be a hassle-free way to start your trip.
So if you're staying at a Disney hotel and this isn't your first trip to Disney World, you might remember the old Magical Express service. And I'm incredibly sad to say that that's now gone, but Mears Connect and Sunshine Flyer are great paid alternatives. Both of them offer comfortable buses that take you straight to the Disney resorts, and the prices are reasonable as well. We've taken Mears Connect several times, and they bring you right from the airport to your hotel, and I highly recommend booking them in advance.
And for as renting a car, we normally don't when we are staying on a Disney property because there's no need for it. Because Disney has so many transportation options, and there really isn't a need for a car if you're staying on property.
Right. Because even if you're going off property for something, like say you have to run to Walmart, it's easy enough just to take an Uber or a Lyft.
Last summer, we planned a day at Universal, and the four of us took a Lyft from Disney to Universal, and it was like less than $20 each way, including tip.
Yeah, it's definitely all in what you're comfortable with.
So, you're finally at your hotel, and now you're probably wondering how you get around to the Disney property. Well, we have a Disney transportation breakdown for you.
Yes, this is detailed, so pay attention. There are several different modes of transportation that can get you anywhere on the Disney property.
Exactly. If you're staying on property, you can get around for free by using one of the transportation services. The bus, the monorail, water transportation, which is ferry or boats, and the Skyliner.
Yeah, so let's start with the Disney buses. I feel like that's the mode of transportation we take the most.
Yes.
So they offer fairly regular schedules, which makes planning your day and how to get around pretty seamless. Generally, transportation services begin about 45 minutes to an hour before the parks open and stop about an hour after park closes. Each Walt Disney World Resort Hotel, as well as the Swan and Dolphin, offers complimentary bus service to and from the theme parks and Disney Springs.
The one exception is Shades of Green, which is the military hotel we mentioned earlier. While it's technically located on Disney property, it is not a Disney hotel, and they have their own bus service that goes back and forth to the ticket and transportation center. From there, you can catch a bus to where you're going, or the monorail to Epcot, or the Magic Kingdom, or the ferry to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there is no direct bus service between the theme parks and Disney Springs, so you would need to take a bus to one of the hotels first and then transfer from there. If you're planning on rope dropping, which we will explain rope dropping 101 in one of the future episodes, be on the lookout for the bus at least an hour before the parks open, or just rideshare, so Uber or Lyft.
Now, let's talk about some of the water transportation option at Walt Disney World. We mentioned it before, but there is a ferry that runs between the Magic Kingdom and the Ticket and Transportation Center. They run on a 15 to 30 minute intervals. So if you're staying at a hotel in the Magic Kingdom area, there's a water taxi option that will bring you to the resort. Those resorts are the Contemporary, the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian, or Fort Wilderness. They're called Friendship Boats, and they run between Epcot and Hollywood Studios, which are very close together if you don't already know. The Friendship Boats stop at the following locations along the way between the two parks: the Boardwalk Hotel, the Beach and Yacht Club, which share a stop, and the Swan and Dolphin will also share a stop. And if you're staying at any of these hotels I just mentioned, it's very easy to walk to Epcot or Hollywood Studios, and there's a nice walking path along a Crescent Lake if you're doing so. And there's also a boat that runs between Port Orleans, Saratoga Springs, and Old Key West, and that goes to Disney Springs and back. And most boats run about 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then there's the newest mode of transportation at Disney, the Skyliner. The Skyliner connects Hollywood Studios and Epcot to select Disney Resort hotels. If you're staying at Caribbean Beach, the Riviera Resort, Pop Century, or Art of Animation, the Skyliner is the only Disney transportation option offered for guests who want to go to Epcot or Hollywood Studios. Buses are only available if the Skyliner is not operating, which does happen sometimes, mostly in the summer due to bad weather. If you're staying at the Epcot Resort area, riding the Skyliner is a possibility in addition to walking or taking a Friendship Boat. You'll find the Skyliner at Epcot just outside the back of the park by the International Gateway, which is behind the France Pavilion.
And I know we mentioned walking a few minutes ago for the Crescent Lake Resorts, the Beach and Yacht Club, the Boardwalk, and the Swan and Dolphin. But if you're staying at the Contemporary, the Magic Kingdom is only about a 10-minute walk, and that may be faster than taking the monorail, which has several stops along the way. You can also walk from the Grand Floridian or the Polynesian, but that's a bit longer walk, and you may not want to start your day with many steps right off the bat.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea because you're going to be putting in probably 20 to 30,000 steps on a normal park day. So you might as well save those steps. So let's talk about the monorail. I am team monorail and will always ride when given the opportunity. I don't know why. It's an obsession of mine. I love the monorail. The express monorail goes directly between the park and the ticket and transportation center, while the resort monorail also includes stops at the Contemporary, Polynesian, and Grand Floridian. The Epcot monorail transports guests directly from the ticket and transportation center to Epcot. But remember that the Epcot monorail only goes back and forth between those two locations, so you'll need to transfer to the express monorail if you want to head to the Magic Kingdom. I hope that wasn't too confusing. I swear, once you get there and you see it in action, it will all make sense.
Yes. And finally, you can always call for a ride-sharing service like Uber or Lyft. They have designated pickup spots at each of the parks. They're clearly marked, but there are always cast members around that can point you in the right direction. But make a note, if you're at the Magic Kingdom, you would have to take the ferry or the monorail to the Ticket and Transportation Center to get your ride because there is not a pickup spot at the park itself unless you call for a minivan.
I love minivans too. Minivans are owned and operated by Disney themselves and are driven by cast members. They're these cute little red, well, not little, they're regular size. It's a red minivan with white polka dots, just like Minnie's dress. And you can call for one through the Lyft app. They do cost a little more, but since they only operate on Disney property, the wait is potentially a little shorter, and each vehicle can accommodate up to 5 guests and has a complimentary car seat if needed.
And of course, you could always rent your own car so you can be in control of your own transportation around Disney World. But there's overnight self-parking is free for any guests staying at one of the Disney hotels. And general parking at the theme park is also free for on-site hotel guests and annual pass holders.
Yeah, if you're not staying on-site, Chris and I would encourage you to weigh the costs of ride-sharing services and parking fees at the parks against the cost of a rental car. The last time we rented a car and stayed off-property was in 2023, and at the time it cost $25 a day to park, and I think it was $35 for oversized vehicles, so that adds up. I guess it would all come down to how many people you have in your party, how far you are staying, like how far away you are from the parks. But one thing to keep in mind is if you can walk to Disney Springs from a hotel you're staying at, you can hop on any of the resort buses there, although you'll have to transfer buses if you're headed to any of the theme parks. But that could work for some of you guys.
So that was a lot of information, and we should probably stop here for now.
Yeah, I agree. That will give people a chance to digest the park ticket options, the hotel options, and all the different transportation options around Disney property. And while it may seem overwhelming, I swear, once you're there, it will make so much sense.
Agreed. It really does come all together once you're there and doing it.
In the next part, we're going to talk about things like extra magic hours, rope dropping, and plus we'll get to restaurants and reservations, but I'm not sure if that's going to be the next part or the part after that.
And when are we talking about food?
That's going to be in the last part. So that's part 4. That's my favorite. I saved the best for last.
We also should walk people through what one of the typical Disney World trips look like.
What, for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. I don't know if I have that on my outline, but we should talk about that. So make sure you come back next week for part 2. And I really hope I didn't overwhelm you too much today, but it really is all important information. And it will definitely help you have a smoother vacation when you do get to Walt Disney World. If anyone has any questions ever at any time, feel free to email me and I'll get back to you. You know where to find me, but in case you don't, I know I've said it 100,000 times, but I'm the Gen X Couple Podcast at gmail.com. I'm the one that usually checks the emails, so I will get back to you, I promise.
And Robin could talk about Disney all day, every day. So don't be shy with any questions you might have. And thanks for tuning in. And until next time, see you later, alligator.
In a wild crocodile.